The gospel today is taken from John chapter 8, verses 12 to 20. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. If in your law it is written that testimony of two men is valid, I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him, because his time had not yet come. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning, everyone. I was preaching at St. Mark's this morning as well, and as you know, it starts at 9 o'clock. At 9:58, I was still home, convinced it started at 9:30, and I got a text from Carl, and I said back to him, it is 9:30, isn't it? No, it's 9 o'clock. So I just managed to scream into church as the reading was being given, and then I could come forward and do my sermon. So it's very nice this morning to have a nice, gentle introduction and settle into the service. So thank you, everyone who's been leading us thus far. This is the fifth Sunday in Lent. And, you know, with these seasons of the church calendar, we get this opportunity, don't we, to revisit the central themes of our Christian faith, those things that are so important to us. So Lent, well, Advent is about the incarnation, Jesus coming into the world, and then Lent and Easter, Jesus's journey to the cross, the crucifixion, the resurrection. And so year by year, personally and as a community, we can come back to these themes and let them just settle more deeply into our hearts and into our lives. So today we're in the diocesan Lent course that we're following. We're looking at Jesus as the light of the world. And we read, or we heard, this tremendous promise where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Light is just such a powerful image or metaphor. And we only have to think about how we feel about the days getting longer at the moment and what that does for us. Just to notice that gives us a kind of felt sense of what light means, how it matters to us. And I'm kind of conscious of how poor my words seem compared to the simplicity of just that image of light, and how powerful it can be if we can let it touch our lives a little bit. And I hope at the end there'll be we can do that. We can let the light speak for itself with some images. So I want to be fairly brief. I want to look at three things. out of the very many things that could be said about this passage, I want to look at what it meant for Jesus' hearers at the time, what it meant for John himself, who wrote about it, and then, of course, what it means for us. So Jesus speaks these words during the Feast of Tabernacles, which was the feast that particularly remembered Israel's wanderings in the wilderness and how God provided water for them when they needed it, when they were thirsty, and how God went before them in this pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night. And Jesus takes these stories and he uses them to make claims about himself. So in chapter 7, we read about Jesus declaring that he's water. If anyone's thirsty, he exclaims, let them come to me and drink. And then we move on into chapter 8, and this time he takes the image of light. And we see here that he talks about himself as the light of the world. And when Jesus said that, it would immediately have had huge resonance for his Jewish audience. Echoes of all sorts of Old Testament passages. And it's worth just mentioning a few. There's Isaiah 9, and they're familiar to us. They'd have been even more familiar to the Jewish audience. Remember Isaiah 9? The people walking in darkness will see a great light. And on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Then there's Isaiah 60. Arise, shine. And we can probably finish it off, can't we? For your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises on you. And just a bit later in that same great passage, verse 19, the sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you, for the Lord himself will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. So Jesus coming and speaking of himself as the light of the world would have had huge meaning. And he got two reactions, didn't he? He got the reaction of the Pharisees, who really didn't like that, as we saw in the rest of the reading. They're deeply offended because they know that Jesus, in using that metaphor, in the words, even I am, he's claiming divinity. In the words, I am the light of the world, again, he's claiming divinity. And for them, that was blasphemy. So they're deeply offended. But for others, it brought hope. It invited them to dare to believe that Jesus was the one that they'd been longing for, the Messiah that they'd been promised. And they chose to follow him. And John was in that group. He was one of the disciples who'd chosen to follow Jesus. And for me, it feels like those words that he heard Jesus say, I'm the light of the world, they never left him. They became part of his personal, fundamental, embodied knowledge of who he knew Jesus to be. So that then when he came to write his introduction to this book of his, he could say these words that are just so familiar to us. In him was light. In him was light. And that life was the light of all mankind. We know them so well, don't we? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John knows this to be true, and he's bearing witness to its reality. He's experienced its reality in his own life, and he's experienced its reality in the little fledgling community of new Christians that he's part of, the church just coming into being. He's seen that in the midst of persecution in his long life, he's probably about 90 when he wrote his gospel, he's seen his community experience the light of Jesus in their darkness. And he makes this lovely declaration in one of the letters that he writes, where he says this: "This is the message that we've heard from God and that we declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. He knew that God was good through and through and through. There was no darkness. There is no darkness in God. It's become internalized within him that God is good through and through. And that God is essential, just like light is essential for our growth, for all growth in creation, for our well-being. Light is essential. God is good and he's essential for our lives. And so we are invited into this same experience. It's actually the hope of our faith, isn't it? Once we were in darkness, turned away from light, turned away from God, walking away from the light. What happens when you walk away from light? Literally, you end up walking in your own shadow, don't you? The light's behind you and it casts a shadow. There we go. I'm walking in my own shadow. I think that's a really helpful image to have. I have a visual aid. It's a pretty poor one, so bear with me. But this, in my work, I do a lot of Zoom calls and I'm sitting in my flat and often it's quite dark. And so what people get when they see me on screen is this shadowy kind of outline. So I bought a light that I've kind of plug in and I have it behind the computer so that it shines on me so that people can actually see me in a conversation. It's kind of helpful. So if we imagine this, I can't plug it in here, so you have to use your imaginations. But here's the light. Here's the light of Jesus, and the light of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're designed to be in this face-to-face relationship with Jesus, with light, so that we're seen and we're known and we're loved. And there's nothing that comes between us. But something's happened. As we've chosen to go our own way and we turn round, we choose independence like Adam and Eve did, and we end up walking in the darkness of our own shadows. And it's a good way of understanding something of Genesis, where it wasn't God that withdrew. It's us that turned around. It wasn't God that stopped shining his light into all of creation. It was us that turned around and walked in the shadow of what that creates when we turn around, that darkness. And so desperate is God to come into our darkness, to find us in our darkness and bring us home, that he sends his Son into the world, into our darkness, to find us. And so that's the incarnation, isn't it? It's God saying, I will come into your darkness, whatever it is. I will come to be with you, God with us. And then I think Lent is God saying, and I'll stay with you in this darkness. I will go into the deepest place of whatever suffering you encounter as human beings on this planet Earth. And I will go through it with you. Every way that you make war on each other, every instrument of torture that you devise, and that's what the cross was, wasn't it? An instrument of torture. I will experience it so that you won't be alone. So that if you turn round and follow me, you will have the light of my life with you. You'll never walk in darkness. And then Easter, I'm jumping the gun a bit, we're not quite there yet, but Easter is God saying, and I'll bring life out of it in some extraordinary way. In the same way as I rose from the grave and defeated sin and death and darkness, I'll bring light and life out of your darkness. So I want to read as a poem at this point. And I think, you know, poems often touches far more deeply than ever a words of a sermon can. So it's a very simple poem, hoping it might appear on the screen. There we go. It's by a Christian, I think she's an ordained lady, Jan Richardson. She's an artist and a poet and a writer. And let me read you her words, How the Light Comes. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it's more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten, or in peril, or in pain, that it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way toward flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does. That it will. That it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes.